Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Baba Kama Daf Kuf Gimel. We begin 18 lines or so from the top of Kuf Gimel Omer Aleph with the words Rav Kahana Yoav Zuzo Akisna. We're learning today Lili Nishmas Sigmund Donin Zelig B'Reb Meir Halevi and Florence Jacobs Freida Devora Bas Elio. All the neshamos we learn for should have an aliyah from our learning. We continue to learn for the safety, success, and all good for Tzahal, the Kochos HaPitachon, that they should be successful. We Nebuch mourn. We heard yesterday that so many of the Chatufim Nebuch had been killed by the Rishoyim, Yimach Shemam Zichram. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should allow Tzahal to return all those that are still able to be returned, and Nebuch, the bodies of those that have been killed, Hashem Yim Kom Domam, and that Tzal should be successful. There shouldn't be any more injuries for Tzal. Those in need of refuah shleima should have Nebuch. There are additional deaths still going on. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be merachem on all of Klal Yisrael. Okay, let's learn. Our learning is Be'ezus Hashem, the best thing that we can do to help out those people in Eretz Yisrael under the difficult matzo that they're in. Okay, 18 lines in the top. Kuf Gimel Omer Aleph. Rav Kahana Yoav Zuzo Akisna. Rav Kahana purchased some kisna. Kisna is flax, but he left the flax in the possession of the person who sold it to him. Tosus points out in Diba Maaskel Yoav Zuzo Akisna. He says Hashda So Kedaitach. Where our opinion right now is the Ire Demarshach Nami, that he did a Kinyan Mashicha. So he acquired it. That kisna belongs to Rav Kahana, and Upikadon bi almahu the havigabe, and it functions essentially as a deposit that is Rav Kahana's, that is still in the possession, the physical possession of the person who sold it to him, but it belongs to Rav Kahana. That's what Tosa says is the assumption that we have right now. Nu lesov yakar kisna, the flax went up in price. The market evaluation of the flax went up in price. So he originally paid for it 4 zuzim, and now it's worth 8 zuzim. So it went up in it doubled in its value. And zavne morvase, so the original person who owned it sold it on behalf of Rav Kahana. The kisna, he sold the flax on behalf of Rav Kahana, and he wanted to give him the money. So he originally had sold it for 4. It belongs now to Rav Kahana, the way Tosus understands the situation. And now the original owner, the Morakama, went and did what he thought was a favor to Rav Kahana and sold the flax on his behalf for 8 zuzim, and now wants to give him the full 8 zuzim. So Rav Kahana wasn't sure what to do. This looks a little bit like ribbis. He paid the guy 4, and now he's getting back 8. It looks a little bit like ribbis. So also the Kami de Rav, so Rav Kahana went to his Rebbe Rav, and he said to him, what should I do? Amalei, my avid, am I allowed to go and take the money? Ezil ishkil zuzai, or am I not allowed to go and take the money because it's ribbis? After all, again, look at the circumstances. I bought this flax, it went up. It's my flax, it went up. Why can't I go take the 8 zuzim for it right now? After all, it was bought for 4, it's merchandise, it went up in value, so why can't I take the 8 zuzim that I'm now getting? Or on the other end, we say, listen, it looks, has the appearance, it's not real ribbis, but has the appearance of ribbis because I gave the guy 4 and now I'm getting back 8. So Rav said as follows, Rav tells Rav Kahana, if Kiko Zavde, when this Morakama, when the guy who originally owned the flax sold it, he said over to the people that were buying it, Arme, Hai Kisno de Kahanahu. He said, this flax is not my flax, I'm selling it on behalf of Rav Kahana. So if it was clear to everybody that he was just basically doing Rav Kahana a favor by selling the flax on his behalf. So in that situation, you can go take the money. No problem. Zil shkol. Rav tells him, that's okay. Nobody's going to think this looks like ribbis. He said, this is Rav Kahana's flax that I'm selling. However, if he didn't announce that this is Rav Kahana's flax, and all people are going to see is that Rav Kahana gave the guy 4 zuz, and now later on he's going to get back 8 zuz, so then lo tishko. Then it looks like ribbis, not real ribbis. It's masik ribbis. It looks like ribbis, and you, Rav Kahana, have to hold yourself to a higher standard and don't take the money. Now, what's the purpose of bringing this Gemara? Seems to have no connection to anything that we've done recently. So the Gemara says, no, come on, who is this opinion that Rav said? If it was said, this is Rav Kahana's flax, then you can keep the money. But if they didn't say that, so then it looks like it's ribbis. So who is this in accord with? Come on. So this is in accord with the shita that we had yesterday from Rav Yosef Rav Chanina, who we called Ma'arava, the people from Eretz Yisrael, who had questioned Rav Yochanan. So this is in accord with that shita, Kibnei Ma'arava. This is in accord with the shita of the Eretz Yisrael Amorayim, Rav Yosef Rav Chanina, and he said as follows, the Omrei, Mi hodio lebal chitin shiak de chitin lebal mos. Because he had pointed out yesterday that the shita of the Ma'arava was different than the shita of Rav Yochanan. The shita of the Ma'arava said that when the person is selling the wheat, he's selling it to the guy that's in front of him, the shaliach. He is not selling it to the shaliach to give it over to the one who sent the shaliach. He's selling it to the shaliach. So according to that, we understand why Rav had said that if he didn't mention that this is Rav Kahana's wheat, so then it looks for all purposes that he's selling it himself, and he's just giving it back, now eight zuzim, to Rav Kahana, which looks like ribbis. So therefore, this is the connection to the Gemara from yesterday. This seems to be in accord with the shita of the Ma'arava, as opposed to the shita of Rav Yochanan. So the Gemara says, not necessarily so. Otu, miyohiv Rav Kahana, Abba v'shokul tamnei. Based upon what we had understood from Tosos, who had said, Hash to sol kadaitach, now we're working with the assumption that Rav Kahana had made a kinyan mashicha and really owned the flax, so then why would we say that this has anything to do with Meshita Ma'arava? Kisna mimeilahu diyaker. This wasn't a case where he gave him 4 zuzim and he got back 8 zuzim and it looks like ribbis. He owned the kisna, and the kisna went up. The market values went up. So it went up from 4 to 8. And mikzal gazlua. And in fact, this was Rav Kahana's flax. And when the guy sold it, the original Murakama sold it, even though he's trying to be a nice guy and give the money all back to Rav Kahana, he technically is a ganav. He didn't have the right to go and sell it. Rav Kahana never authorized him to go and sell it. And therefore, the original owner of the flax technically is a ganav. Migzal gazlua. And we have learned many times already, kol agazlan, we learned in the Mishnah that we had on Daf Tzadikimu and subsequent Shiurim, we said, kol ha-gizlonim, a gazlon, has to go and pay mishalmin bishas exam. He has to pay the value of it at the time of the theft. So when this Murakama stole the flax from Rav Kahana, even though he's giving him the money, so he stole 8 zuzim's worth of flax. That's what it was worth. So he has to pay him the 8 zuzim. So that can't be the explanation for Rav that he holds like the opinion of the Ma'arava. And in fact, Rav's psak here has nothing to do with the machlokas between the Ma'arava and Rav Yochanan. And therefore, in fact, Amre, you know what the circumstances are over here? Not like we originally thought that Rav Kahana had made a kinyan meshicha and owns the flax. Ella, what was it? Amre hosam amona havoy. This was, as Rashi says, in Dibra Masal amona havoy, shenosan lehem moz be'amona, that Rav Kahana gave over the money. He gave over the 4 zuzim to go and have someone purchase on his behalf flax. And the guy who Rav Kahana gave the money to, we had called him previously the Murakama, right now did not have flax. But he was being paid up front by Rav Kahana to go and purchase him flax. The Hisnuimo, they made a deal. Kishar hazol litein lo kol hashana bishar zeh. So he said, I want to buy flax. I'm paying you 4 zuzim for a certain amount of flax, which is the current market evaluation. And even though it may go up later on, you're going to purchase it for me, this amount of flax, no matter what, with the 4 zuzim that I gave you. And if it goes up in price, that's your problem. That's not, like we learned in a Mishnah in Bava Metzia, Yotza Hashar, once the evaluation, once the prices, the market prices have been set, then you're allowed to go and pay somebody for it, even though they don't have it in their possession. Because once the market prices are set, so that even if he doesn't have it, somebody else has it. So therefore, it's not considered that you're paying for something that isn't around. And therefore, in this situation, it was a amana type of a deal. It was Rav Kahana giving the man money and saying, you go and purchase flax for me sometime in the future. He did not make a kinyan meshicha. He just gave him the money. And therefore, now we understand Rav. The Rav L'taimei. The Amar Rav, Rav had said, Osin amana b'peiros. They ain't osin amana b'domim. That you're allowed to go and make this type of a deal for somebody to go and deliver to you peiros. Kisna. If he had given him the kisna, that would not have been a problem. However, Hurav, who had said, as Rashi said, the otzale le mishkal zuze, for him to take back zuze, so then this is not allowed because it looks like ribbis, because it looks like you're giving him 4 zuzim and you're getting back 8 zuzim. So an amana can't be for cash, but an amana could be for payrolls. So if he had given him the kisna, not a problem. But if he's giving him back cash and he says nothing about this being Rav Kahana's kisna, So then it's Merse Kiribis. And that's the explanation of Rav. Has nothing to do with the Machlokas between the Marava and Rav Yochanan. Okay, now we start a brand new Mishnah. Hagozel es chaveiro shava pruta. If you steal something from Rachmana Lusan, somebody else. Again, you're not allowed to do this. I've said this so many times, I don't want to be repetitive. But the person did it. He did steal something from someone else. It was worth at least a shava pruta. So the dinim of Geneva, Gezela apply. If it's pachos mi shava pruta, in Jewish law, that's not considered something that is significant, and it doesn't fall into the category of a Geneva, Gezela, the dinim of a shvua and a hodah, to have to go and pay back the principal if you then admit that you lied and swore falsely, and to go and pay the additional one-fifth penalty, which is a fifth from the outside, which is a fourth from the inside. We mentioned many times, if it was $100, so then a fifth is going to be $25, but that's really a fourth, so it's a fourth from the inside. A fifth of $100 would be $25, because when you look at it as $125, which is the total amount he has to pay back, that $25 is now a fifth. But from the inside, looking at the original $100, it's only a fourth, a quarter. In any event, these dinim of if you made a shvua and then you said, I swore falsely, so then you have to bring the pay back the principal, pay back a fifth, and bring a korban asham gizela. So in this situation, it has to be worth at least a shava pruta. So, hagozel es chaveiro shava pruta. If you stole from someone, a shava pruta is worth at least. In my example, let's say you stole $100 from him, the nishbalo, and he says, hey, why did you steal from me? And you swear that you didn't steal it, but then you have hirurim of tshuva, and you say, listen, I swore falsely. So then, in this situation, based upon the psukim, yolichenu achrov limadai, the ganav has to go, even run all the way to madai, far away place, to go and return the principal, the fifth, and only then can he go bring a korban asham gizela. So he has to go and give it back to the guy. The Eish HaZela, Asher Gozel, he has to go and return it to that person. As the pasuk tells us further, he says, these psukim that are found in the beginning of Parshas Vayikra, where it says that the Eish HaZela, Asher Gozel, Oes HaOshek, Asher Oshok, Oes HaPikodon, Asher Hofkat Ito, Oes HaAvedo, Asher Motza, and you must return it. In any of these scenarios, which we'll see in the end of the Mishnah, dealing over here with however you got the money illegally, however you got it, whether you robbed him or whether you took it in any other way or you found it even and you swore that you didn't have it, so then you have to go and return what you stole plus the chomesh, and then you can bring your carbon asham. So this is a special din that you must return it to the person himself. You have to return it to lasher hu lo yitnenu, which the mission now tells us, lo yitain lo livno. You can't give it to the guy's son. The guy's in Madai. So you say, hey, his son lives over here with me, so I'll give it to the son and tell him to give it to the father. No. Lo yitain lo livno, vilo lishlucho. And you can't give it to your shliach and be yotzezayin and say, hey, I gave it to my shliach and he's going to bring it to Madai eventually. No. You have to go and give it to that man himself, or if you give it to that man's shliach, if that man had given a shliach the authority, so the person who you stole from, he had designated shliach, so then when you give it to that person, that's like returning it to the man himself. But you can't designate a shliach for him, and you can't give it even to his son. But what you can do, the Mishnah tells us, is avol nosein l'shliach beis din. The rabbis made a special takana that you give it over to a shliach of beis din, and beis din will function on that person that you stole from's behalf to accept this to facilitate you doing tshuva. Now, the imeis, if the person who you stole from, Nebuch, passes away before you could return it, so then, yachzir liyarshim, then you have an obligation, the yarshim now have taken his place, and you have to go and return it to the yarshim. Now, Mishnah tells us, nasal osa keren, if you paid back the keren, however, you didn't pay back the extra chomesh, v'lo nasan lo es chomesh, the fifth from the outside, which is a fourth from the inside, if you didn't pay that back. Or, mocha lo ala karen, the person you stole from said, okay, don't worry about the karen. You don't have to pay back the karen. But he never was mocha, v'lo mocha lo ala chomesh, whatever the circumstances were, he was mocha the karen, so the person no longer had to give back the karen, but he still had to pay back the chomesh. Or, mochalo alzeh, the alzeh, he forgave him, the person who was robbed, forgave him for both the principal and for the chomesh, with the exception, chutz mi pachos shava pruta bekeren. Except, let's say he stole $100, he said that a half of a penny of that $100, I'm not moichu. So in all of these situations, there is no really longer a din of having to return the principle. So in this situation, Eino tzarich leilich akrav, you don't have to go back and give him to Madai. You have to owe the money still. But since you have essentially no obligation to pay back the Karen, because you either paid it back or he was mochlid, or there is less than a shavah pruta left of the Karen. So then the din is that while you still owe him whatever money you owe, the chomesh or even the half the pruta, so you have to pay him back. However, you don't have to go all the way to Madai to go and pay this guy back. However, if it was the other way around, you only paid back the chomesh, but you didn't pay back the keren, the lo nasa losa keren, or he was machal you on the chomesh. He said, I just want my principal back. Machal ala chomesh, valo machal ala keren, but he never forgave you for the principal itself. Or machal ala zevi al zeh, he did forgive you for both of them, but not fully. Chutz mishav pruta v'keren, but he said, I still want, you sold for me $100, but I want a dollar back. So in all of these situations, there still is part or all of the principal that has to be paid. So then that small amount even, or the full amount, you have to go all the way to Madai to go and pay back, even if you're not paying him back the extra chomesh. But in order to fulfill your obligation, you have to go all the way to Madai, you have to search this guy out and give it back to him directly. Mishnah continues and tells us, Nasan lo asa keren, v'nishba lo ala chomesh. The person had originally sworn falsely about the keren, and now he regretted it, so he now has to pay the Karen plus the Chomesh, and now he gives back the guy to Karen, and then he swore, don't ask me why, but the guy swore that he had already paid back the Chomesh, and he said, I don't owe you the Chomesh. But then he again has a room of Chur, return to Kuf Gimel Amud Beis. So in this situation, he now admits that he owes the $25, so this is now like a new Gneva, and therefore, Harezim Mishalim Chomesh, Ala Chomesh. So he has to go pay back the $25, which is the Chomesh, but now that becomes like the Karen. And he has to go pay back a fifth from the outside, which would be, if it was 25, so a fifth from the outside would be an additional fourth from the inside, which would be 6.25. So he'd have to pay him back the total of the 25 plus the 6.25 addition. And that total amount, then a fifth of that is the 6.25. In any event, we view this chomesh not like anymore a penalty of a chamishis, but now we view it as a principle. And this will keep on going. Achi yismayin akerem yishav pruta. Let's say he then paid back the 25 and he denies the 6.25. So now the 6.25 becomes a principle and he'll have to go pay the 6.25 back plus a fifth of that. And that will keep on going if he keeps on denying the chomesh. So that will continue until the chomesh is worth less than ishav pruta. And at that point in time, he wouldn't have to go and pay that back all the way running to Madai to pay the guy back. Finally, the Mishnah concludes. It says the same din applies, like we brought down from the pasuk that I said earlier, which the Mishnah now quotes. The same thing would apply. Not that he stole the money from the other guy, but he had given him a deposit and he denied that he ever got the deposit from that other guy. So then, as the pasuk says, oh, the pikadon, oh, the sumis yod. A pikadon is that he was given over here this deposit. A sumis yod, he was given over money in a loan. So he didn't steal it, but the guy gave money. Now he's denying it. Oh, begazel, or the robbery case that we talked about. Oh, oshak, es amiso, or in some way he stole it from him. That's called oshak. He, in a way, didn't directly necessarily steal it from him, but let's say it was, Rashi says, sochar sechir, the guy owed that guy money for working as him for as a worker, and he didn't pay him. So in all of these situations where he got this money illegally, or it was an aveda that he found, omotz aveda, and he knows it belongs to that guy, and he has to return it to him, and the guy says, hey, I heard you found my wallet, and he says, no, I did not, and he swore that he did not. In all of these scenarios, he denied that he owed the other person the money, however it was, and he swore falsely on it. So in all of these situations, the Mishnah tells us, in all of these situations, he has to pay back the principal, of course. We have the special penalty of a fifth from the outside, which is a fourth from the inside, and he has to go bring a korban asham. That's our Mishnah. The Gemara starts off and tells us, Nishba lo, if he swore falsely, the Mishnah says in, then all of these penalties apply, the fifth and the korban asham. But lo nishba lo, if he didn't swear falsely, so then no, he just has to pay back the principal, but there is no din of a chamishis, and there is no din of a korban asham. Lo nishba lo, lo. Now, whose opinion is the authorship of our Mishnah? Mani, It doesn't seem to go with the two shitas that we know, which we'll explain in a moment. It's not lo Rabbi Tarfon, the lo Rabbi Kiva. It's neither of those two opinions. And the gears that we have is the Tanya, but this is actually, as the Masor Shas points out, this is really a Mishnah that we had in Yavamos, and we'll have it in Bava Metzia, and it should be Ditznan instead of Ditanya. So, Gozal Echon Chamisha, we've had this previously. If a person stole something from one of five people, he doesn't know which one he stole it from. So, guy went into a locker room, and he took something from the locker room, and it was five guys, it was possibly in the locker room, that he stole something from. Then he doesn't know which one he stole it from. Now, if the person who was stolen from was the only one who claimed that, yeah, his item was stolen. So then, very simple, you return it to him. There's no argument. But here, all five guys in the locker room, the whole Echad Omer, oh, she goes, hey, that was my stuff that he stole. It was my wallet. It was my gym bag that he stole. The whole Echad Omer, oh, she goes. So the Ganav, he's wanting to do tshuva, but he doesn't know who to return the item to. He stole from one person, but there are five people claiming that it was his. So, according to Rabbi Tarfon, Meniach Gizel Abinayim, he puts the gym bag back in between them, the $100 that he stole, and he says, Mistalik, I'm gone, I'm out of here, and you guys work it out. Divi Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon says that in this scenario, he can fulfill his obligation, the Eishiv Zagzela Shagazal, by just putting $100 in front of the five of them and let them work it out. Divri Rabbi Tarfon. That is Rabbi Tarfon's opinion. Now Tosus says in the top Tosus over here in Perikam Mavki, that's the Gemara above the Metzia. So Muki Law, it says over there, the Lav Dafka Beinayim, the Shachli Lukulu, the Ozle, that it's not that he actually puts it in front of all five of them and they, you know, they fight it out. Elo Yaniach, he leaves it aside. Let's say he gives it to the Beistin. Actually, is Barer Hadover Mihem Abalim. So he doesn't cause a free fight over here. He just throws $100 there, but he goes and deposits it in a way that, while he can fulfill his obligation to return what he stole, it will be kept in abeyance until the ownership can really be figured out. That's the opinion of Rabbi Tarfon. He doesn't have to pay five times $100. He just has to pay $100 one time, and they have to figure out how to divide that up, how to give it back to the real person or to divide it up in some way. Rabbi Kiva Omer, lo zu derech motziyasu mi diavera. This guy wants to do tshuva, and just by depositing the $100 and not really returning it to the person who he stole it from, so that doesn't really fulfill the Heshiv Sakzela Shagazal. You didn't return it to the owner that you stole it from. So therefore, Rabbi Kiva says, the only way that you're going to fulfill your obligation to return the Gzela is Achi Yishalim Gzela Lekol Echad the Echad. You will not fulfill your obligation to return the Gzela until you actually return it. So since you don't know which one of the five guys you stole it from, guess what? Give each one $100. Now, these are the two opinions that we have. Rabbi Tarfon says you just leave it there between them, so to say, and you fulfilled your obligation. And Rabbi Kiva says, no, you have to go and give each one the $100. Now, Mani, who's the author of our Mishnah? Our Mishnah, the way we just understood it, seemed to say that it's only talking about a case of Nishba, where you swore falsely that you have this din of paying back the Chamishas and the Korban Asham. So if it's Rabbi Tarfon, so then Rabbi Tarfon doesn't seem to distinguish Afogav the Ishtaba, Oma Meniach Gizel Abinayim Mistalik. Even if he swore falsely and said, I didn't steal it from any of you five guys. And then he has Yehurim of Tshuva and he says, no, I really did. So Rabbi Tarfon doesn't seem to distinguish between Nishba and Lo Nishba. Our Mishnah does. So Rabbi Tarfon can't be the author of our Mishnah. And likewise, you're going to tell me then it's Rabbi Akiva. It's Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva said, Afogav de lo ishtaba. Even if the guy didn't swear falsely, Omar, he has to say, Ad shi yishalim gzela l'kolech b'yechad, until he returns the actual gzela to each one. So again, neither Rabbi Tarfon nor Rabbi Akiva seems to make a distinction between nishba and lo nishba. So those are the only two opinions that we know, but our Mishnah seems to not be in accord with either of those two. So who is the author of our Mishnah? So the Gemara says, no, in fact, Le'olam Rabbi Akiva, it in fact is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva that says that you have to go return it to each one. And when Rabbi Akiva said that, Rabbi Akiva, you have to go and give each one the $100, in our case, where he doesn't know which one of the guys, the five guys he stole the $100 from, Rabbi Akiva is saying he's then only in a situation where Hecho di Shtaba, who do Kamar. Rabbi Akiva is only saying that in a case where he swore falsely. But even Rabbi Akiva would say that if he didn't swear falsely, then he can just put the $100 back and say, you guys figure out who the original owner is. Now, Rashi points out in Dibro Matzal Olam Rabbi Akiva that we want to establish our Mishnah to Rabbi Akiva. Meikara Mahadrinon, that he has to go and give it back to each one. Lu'ukma, we wanted to establish it, B'davka, like Rabbi Akiva, Mishum Dekulu Tanoi Stimsa, Aliba the Rabbi Akiva. Since this is a Stam Mishnah, so therefore, We wanted it to go like the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, because Stam Mishnahs invariably go like Rabbi Akiva, because his Talmidim, such as Rabbi Meir, are considered normally the authors of the Stam Mishnayis, and therefore it's all Rabbi Akiva. So therefore, we could have gone, as Tosus points out as well, we could have gone and said that this was Rabbi Tarfo, and it's talking about a case where he didn't make a Shvuah. And that's only where Rabbi Tarfon says it then. But Rabbi Tarfon would say, if he made a shul, then he'd have to give it back to each one. But we wanted the Mishnah to specifically be like Rabbi Akiva, and that's why we chose this route to explain the Mishnah. Now, Gemara says, my taima, why does Rabbi Akiva say that you have to go and pay back each one if you made a shvuah? Because the Amar Kvar, the Pasuk says, La'asher hu lo, yitnenu biyomash maso, that you must give it back to that person if you swore falsely, and therefore, it's your obligation to go and give it back. No, why doesn't Rabbi Tarfon hold like that? Rabbi Tarfon, Afo gav dishtaba. Rabbi Tarfon says, even if the guy swore falsely, he doesn't have to go give it back to each one of the five, but he can just put it there in front of them, because Avod Rabbonim Takanta, he says, you're right, min hadin, Rabbi Akiva is 100% right. The pasuk says, go give it back to the one who you stole from. If you don't know, you'd have to give it back to all five. But guess what? That's not going to facilitate people doing tshuva. He stole 100, now he's going to have to give back 500. He's going to say, guess what, I'll be a ganav. I'm not going to give it back, because I can't afford to give back 500 when I only stole 100. So the Tanya, we learned in the following brisa, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadok Omer, Takono Gidoli Skinu, that the rabbi set up here a great takona, Rabbi Elazar Tzadok says. This is a great takona. Rashi elsewhere tells us it's called the great takona, She'akru Dover Min HaTorah. That's what Rashi in Bava Metzia says, that they uprooted a din in the Torah, that yes, he should have had to pay back all five of them in order to be Yotzei, but in fact, he only has to go pay back one of them and deposit it in front of them, and he'll be fine, because this is the great takona. The rabbis had said that if the amount of money that you stole is, let's say, $100, and it's going to cost you $1,000 to go and get an airplane to Mardai and have to go give the guy back $100, and it's costing you $1,000 to go there, guess what? Nobody's going to do that either. That the amount of expenses that you have to go and return the stolen property is greater than the value of the stolen property. So all you have to do in that situation is mishalim kerem v'chomish lebeisdin. So then, yes, you have to pay the money. You have to pay the $100, and you have to pay the penalty because you swore falsely. You have to pay the chomish. But you can just deposit it with beisdin. And then you have fulfilled your obligation, and therefore you can go bring your korban hashem. You're not allowed to bring your korban hashem until you fulfilled your obligation. So this will allow and facilitate the person to do tshuva. Since a great takana gedola. So Rabbi Tarfon says, yes, you're right, Rabbi Akiva. That's what the pasuk really means. You should have to give it back to all five. But the rabbis came in with oker adavim and a Torah to facilitate this person to do tshuva. No, why does Rabbi Akiva like that? Rabbi Akiva, he says, ki avud rabbanim takanta. When the rabbis made this great takana, they only did that. They said, okay, Rabbi Akiva is not disagreeing with this great takana that Rabbi Elazar Tzadok brings down. He says, yeah, that's because he stole it from Yanko. Yanko's in Mardai. It will cost him $1,000 to get on a plane to Mardai, and he's only returning $125. So in that situation, give the $125 to the Beistin, and then you can bring in Korban Ashram. Because we know who he stole it from. Because you really are returning it to him, albeit via Beistin. So Beistin, so to say, acting on your behalf, and you fulfilled that you're returning the Gzela, Lasher Hulo, Yidnenu, so you have fulfilled it, and now you can bring your carbon ashram. But in our case here, Rabbi Akiva says, Gazalecha mechamisha, dolo yada leman gazle. You don't know which one of the five guys you stole it from. So it doesn't help you to just put it down in front of them or give it to Basin and say, you take care of it. Dolo hada mamona lamari, because ultimately, the real person that you stole it from didn't get his money back. And therefore, lo avod rabbanan takanta. So Rabbi Akiva says, in that scenario where we don't know who the person who was stolen from, which one of the five guys he was, so then this takana doesn't take effect, and you got to go pay each one back $100. So that's the machlokas with Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva. Masa Rabbi Huna bar Yehuda asked the following shaila from the following brisa. He says, "Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, Lo nechleku Rabbi Tarfon Rabbi Akiva. There is no machlokas in Rabbi Tarfon and Akiva in the case al shelokach echod mechamisha." He had purchased the gym bag or whatever the item was from one of those five people, but he doesn't know which one he purchased it from. So he can't give the $100 that he purchased it to the right person. In that situation, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon both agree that you don't have to go give each one $100. Shemeniach demei mekach beinehem. Then you just put the $100 down for the purchase price of the gym bag and umistalik, and then you fulfilled your obligation. You paid for what you purchased, and they'll have to work it out. No, where's the machlokas? Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says between Rabbi Tam and Rabbi Kiva, aman nechluku. What's the machlokas? It's a case of gezela. Shegaz alecha michamish bnei adam. He stole the gym bag from one of these five people. Then he adanates him and goes, he doesn't know which one he stole it from. In this situation, only in this situation of gezela, Rabbi Tam ben Omer meniach to be gezela b'nei mustalik, that it's adequate even here to go and put the $100 in between the five of them and say, hey, you figure it out. I returned it, and I'm out of here. And Rabbi Kiva disagrees. Rabbi Kiva, Omer, no. Ein lo takana. He has no choice in this situation because he stole. Achi shalom gzeilu kolecha v'yachad. In a case of a purchase, so then even Rabbi Kiva's motive, Rabbi Tarfon. But in the case of gzeila, Rabbi Kiva says that won't work because you didn't return the gzeila to the right owner until you give each one $100. Now, here's where Rav Huna Bar Yehuda's question comes in. If, in fact, we're saying that the machlokas between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Kiva is only in a case where the guy swore falsely, like we started off to explain, that the Mishnah is Rabbi Akiva, but only Rabbi Kiva said his din in a case where he swore falsely. So, mali lokach, mali gaza. Then what difference should it make whether it was a case of a purchase or a case of stealing? If he swore falsely, so then the din should be the same. But why does Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar say there's a difference? There's no machlokas in a case of lokach, even if he swore. And there's only a machlokas in the case of gezela when he swore. So why is that true if you're telling me that it's all dependent upon the shvua? That's Rav Huna Bar Yehuda's question. And furthermore, the old Masiv Rava, Rava has another kasha. There was a famous maisa b'chosid echa. There was a maisa with a certain righteous person, a chosid, shalokach mishnei be'adam, who purchased something from two people. He didn't know which one he purchased it from. Lo yodeh meizim lokach. So what's he supposed to do? So he went to Rabbi Tarfon, a bolfin Rabbi Tarfon, and asked, chosid is, what should I do? So I'm alone. So Rabbi Tarfon told him, like his psak, hanach demei mikcha beinehem, go and put the purchase price between the two people, v'istalik, and say, listen, whichever one of you I purchase it from, here's the money. You guys figure it out, v'istalik, and then you can leave. So that's what Rabbi Tarfon had said. Bolav Rabbi Akiva. Somehow the question came in front of Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva disagreed. On the low, he said, "Ein lecha takana achit tzalim cholech v'yachad." Here it clearly says in a purchase case that even in a purchase case, Rabbi Akiva says you have to go and satisfy your requirement to pay the person that you purchased from by giving it to both of them. Now, again, here Rava asks, "V'isokadayto dimishtaba." If it's talking about a case of a shvua, so then chosid mimishtaba b'shikra. This is a chassid that we're talking about. Ma'isa b'chassid echad. So if this guy's a chassid, did he swear falsely? That can't be the case. So it can't be talking about a case where he swore. So again, we question that Rabbi Akiva only said his din in the case where he swore falsely. Here Rabbi Akiva said to this chassid, who certainly didn't swear falsely, that you also have to go put it each one, $100 to each one, and not just put it down in between them and leave like Rabbi Tarfon had said. Now, if we're dealing with a chassid, you're going to tell me that that's impossible, that he swore falsely? Maybe he did tshuva. The chitema, the mishtaba, that when he swore falsely, he wasn't a chassid. No, he subsequently realized the error of his ways, the folly of his rishus, and the harder habi chassid. And from that point on in time, he's now a chassid. Is that what we're talking about? We said it can't be, because we have a rule. When we have throughout Shas that it says a mice happened with a certain person who was a chassid, it always refers to one of the two Rabbi Yehudas. Or Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Bava, or Rabbi Yehuda by Rabbi Eloi. These are the two people that are referred to as mice b'chassid echad. And they certainly were not rotten people and then became righteous. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, Rabbi Yehuda by Rabbi Eloi, chassidim demei karahavu. They were righteous from the day they were born, so to say. And therefore, you can't tighten over here that they weren't righteous at the time that they swore falsely. It only after they became a chassid echad. So we have these two kashas, Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda, and Rava. So we're back to our original question. How can you authorship of our Mishnah be only Rabbi Kiva? In the case of Shvua, Rabbi Kiva clearly holds, even when there was no Shvua, then you have to give it back to each one individually. And therefore, who's the authorship of our Mishnah? Shmuel says, you're right. Eliolim Rabbi Tarfoni. In fact, our Mishnah goes in accordance with Rabbi Tarfon and not Rabbi Akiva. Umode Rabbi Tarfon, Hechod Ishtaba. But Rabbi Tarfon is in agreement that if you swore falsely, then it's not adequate to just put down the $100 in between the five guys and run away and say, I finished my obligation. Even Rabbi Tarfon is molded that if you swore falsely, you got to give each one back the $100. Why? My time. Because the pasuk says, the Amakra, Asher Hulo Yitnenu, the Amashmaso. You got to give it back to the guy if you swore falsely. And therefore, even Rabbi Tarfon is molded in case where you swore falsely, you got to give it back to each one. And only that you can put it in between them and run away is if you didn't swear falsely. No, why doesn't Rabbi Akiva agree to that? Why does Rabbi Akiva say, even if you didn't swear falsely, you have to give it back to each one? Rabbi Akiva, what does he hold? And either have the word the Omar, albeit the Mesor Sashah says that the Marshal is Mochikit, but Rabbi Akiva's opinion is, Aval Gabdalo Mishtaba Konis. Rabbi Akiva says it's a Knas. You're right. Min Hadin, if you didn't swear falsely, so then the Pesukim don't apply. You have to give it back to the guy, and you can leave it in between them and say, listen, I fulfilled my obligation. I returned the money that I stole. You guys have to figure out which one I stole from. But here it's a knas according to Rabbi Akiva, in order to make sure people don't go and steal. So the consequences of your theft are going to be quite hefty, and therefore this was a knas that Rabbi Akiva says was instituted. But the etzem din would be, like Rabbi Tarfon had said, that if there's no shvua, technically you could just leave it in between all of them and walk away. Okay. The Gemara says, the Rabbi Tarfon, Michti, let's check out, now that you've explained Rabbi Tarfon as the authorship of a Mishnah, let's check that out. Does that really work? Hecho de Mishtaba lo sagya de lohoda. If the guy swore falsely, it's not adequate, lo sagya de lohoda. It's not enough that he swore falsely. He then has to admit that he swore falsely in order to have to go and pay back the principal and pay back the chomish. Now, my irya vinishba, afilu below shvua nami. But wait a second. Why is it only in the case of a shvua that he swore falsely? Even if he didn't make a shvua, he would have to go and return it to each one. Because the din is the tiny. We learn the brisa that moda Rabbi Tarfon biom lishnayim. Rabbi Tarfon himself was moda. If a person, Rahman al-San, stole something from one of two people, he doesn't know which one he stole it from, but he went to them voluntarily. He didn't swear falsely and then admitted that he swore falsely. He went up to them and said, listen, I was bad the other day. I saw this money lying around the locker room and I stole this money. I don't know which one of you two owned it. And each of them says that it was theirs. So, gezalti echad mikem mona, then you there is mikem. I stole a mona from you, $100 from you, and I don't know which one of you two I did it. So then, even though there's no shvua, the Braisa says, the Rabbi Tarfon says, no sin lezem mona, ever lezem mona. So even without a shvua, the Rabbi Tarfon says this. So how can you say that Rabbi Tarfon only says with a shvua? As we continue on, because he admitted that he owes them the money, and therefore, even without a shvua, he has to go and return it to each one. So why are you saying that our Mishnah is only if he made a shvua? Clearly from the Braisa, even if he didn't make a shvua, as long as he admitted it, he has to go pay back each one. So we're again stuck. We can't say our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Tarfon, and we just proved before that our Mishnah doesn't go like Rabbi Akiva. So who's the author of our Mishnah? So Gemara says, Elo, my Rava. Rava says, Shiny Mas Nisan. Our Mishnah is different than the Machlokis of Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva. The Kivan Dioda Leman Gazlei. In our case, there is no doubt as to who the person who was stolen from is. The guy says, I admit that I stole it from you. And therefore, the Odilei. And he admits and confesses that, yes, I stole it from you, and therefore, in order to get the full kapara, he has to pay him back the principal that he stole, he has to pay the chamishas, and then he has to go and bring a korban asham. So, kivan de'efshul lehadure mamona lamari, since in our Mishnah, we know exactly who he has to return the money to, therefore, havalei kiman de'armalei yuli b'yodcha, it's as if the person who was stolen from said to the ganav, okay, thank you for admitting that you stole my money. I'm happy to let you have the money in your hands until I return from Madai. Thank you. You admit it. I'm in Madai right now. It's okay if you pay me back when I return. And therefore, Hilkoch, if Nishba, if the robber actually swore falsely, Afogav de Kamale Yuli Biotcha, even though the person who was Nigdab seems to be a very nice guy, says, you can pay me when I come back from Madai, but right now I'm in Madai. I'm in my vacation. I'm in Madai. I'll be here for who knows how long. You can pay me when I come back. Nevertheless, if this Ganav wants to get a full kapara and bring his korban asham, kivon deboy kapara, he wants a kapara. Losage ademofili day. He can't sit tight and wait till the guy comes back from Madai, and only then will he return it to him. Even though the person who was stolen from was happy with that. But if you want a kapara, you have to fulfill the pasuk that you return him the money, you pay the chomish, and then you can bring your asham. Lo sagi, it's not enough ademotili day that you wait until it gets into the person that you stole from hand. And when he comes back from Madai, he'll accept it. Ha'lo ishtaba. But if he didn't swear falsely, so then, ha'vigabe pikadon adiasei v'shakulei. So then, if he didn't swear falsely, so then we allow the person who was nignav to say, okay, you give it back to me when I get back from Mardai. And that situation, the din is different. So the difference in our Mishnah is whether or not he swore falsely. Everybody agrees that he admitted that he owes the guy the money. But if he doesn't need a kapara because he didn't swear falsely, so then it's enough, it's adequate, that when the guy comes back from Monday, I'll give him back. The guy who had the money taken from him in however way it was is happy with that. He's not complaining. You want a kapara, however, because you swore falsely, then you got to go to Mardai. And that's how you have to understand our Mishnah. And in fact, this is neither Rabbi Tarfon nor Rabbi Akiva. They both agree. As Rashi points out, Diva Masa Lo Amar Rabba, Masis and Divri Akoli. Everybody agrees with this. Below Damya Leni Yodeya. It's totally different than the case of the Machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon, where they have a Machlokas where they don't know who to return the money to. So this has nothing to do with the Machlokas of Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva. And therefore, our Mishnah goes like everybody. And the distinction, again, in our Mishnah is, does he need a kapara or not? When he swore falsely, the guy needs a kapara, and therefore you better go to Mardai and go return it to him, because otherwise you can't get a kapara, you can't bring your korban asham. But in a situation where you don't, quote, need a kapara because you didn't swear falsely, you got to return the item. And the guy says, okay, it's no problem. You can return it to me when I come back in a few months from Mardai. So then you don't have to go to Mardai. And that's the proper understanding of our Mishnah. And with this, we conclude today's shiur.